عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وأصحابه الخلص المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال ربنا العزيز في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: فخرج على قومه في زينته قال الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا يا ليت لنا مثل ما أوتي قارون إنه لذو حظ عظيم. وقال الذين أوتوا العلم ويلكم ثواب الله خير لمن آمن وعمل صالحا ولا يلقاها إلا الصابرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. This is one of the most touching and capturing stories and parables in the Holy Quran, in chapter 29, Surah Al-Qasas, the stories. It's the story of Korah, Qarun. Qarun, who one time was one of the senior aides of Musa alayhi salam, Prophet Musa. And he was his right arm. He was helping him, assisting him, supporting him. But then God tested him with wealth, and he failed miserably in this test. Once he got this wealth and accumulated the wealth, he rebelled against his community and his prophet and his leader Musa alayhi salam. And therefore the Quran here is telling us the story so we learn a lesson from that. A lesson from the story of Korah or Qarun. The Holy Quran says there are two groups, two categories of people. Qarun, when he became wealthy, some people, not all, when they become wealthy, they'd like to display and showcase their wealth to the people. Sometimes people would like to show their homes, their furniture, their cars, their, you know, muscular body, their tattoos to people. Sometimes they want to show their dress, especially when there is fashion design. Sometimes I go to the cemetery for a funeral and I find it as a fashion design, even in the cemetery. Even when people should focus on their last journey, the akhirah, the death, you can see fashion design in the cemeteries too, not just weddings. So Qarun wanted to show his wealth because he was arrogant, and he wanted to entice those weak-spirited in the community. There are some people who get enticed and attracted easily. So he came out with many of his followers, his entourage. There were thousands of them, thousands of them. فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ He came forth unto his community. فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ In his full ornaments and attraction and jewelry and wealth and escort and convoy. فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ As I said, some people God has given them good character. They display their good character and their personality. They don't need to show their wealth and their homes and their cars. Some people God has given them knowledge. Some people God has given them ilm and akhlaq, manners, good manners. They don't need to borrow something else to beautify themselves with it. Certain things are God-given. Intelligence, knowledge, character. These are God-given. Akhlaq. So they don't have to look for other types of zina or ornaments or attraction. They don't need. Amir al-Mu'mineen has a beautiful hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, الأخلاق زينة الرجال. If men are looking for attraction, they don't need to wear jewelry, neither good, valuable dress, nor ride fancy cars. They have to embrace أخلاق. أخلاق is truly the real attraction for men. And men, not just men, males. Men means mankind, men and women. I read an article last year in the LA Times about some Arab people who come to, in the summertime, they come to Los Angeles. They rent homes in Beverly Hills. And then either they bring with them they ship the fancy cars, the sport cars with them, or they can, rent them here. And then they speed very fast in the streets of Beverly Hills to the extent that the inhabitants, the citizens of this city, Beverly Hills, they complain to the police department about the behavior of those Saudi and Arab, royalties and rich people. And then they show a clip on the Los Angeles Times, website, they show a clip, someone, he takes a video of some of these, race cars that takes place in that peaceful city. This is how they present Islam to the West. This is how the custodians of the Haramain, the leaders of the Muslim world, bring Islam to America through racing with their fancy cars, with the terrible noise that it makes and the danger that it poses to the American people. This is how they export Islam to the West. This reflects inferiority complex. When someone does not have ilm, nor character, no good personality, no manners, then he uses the vehicle, materialism, to show his superiority, to show his power and authority, to attract attention. One time someone came to me and he was trying to convince a girl to marry her. So he borrowed his friend's car to go to her house. I said, why do you do that? He said, because I want to attract her. I said, this is wrong type of attraction. You are not allowing her to get attracted to your character, to your shakhsiyyah, to your manners. You are trying to get her to get attached to your car, and this is wrong. This is very wrong, profoundly wrong. The girl or the boy, they have to be attracted to each other's character, not what they wear, what they own. These are secondary issues. This is why we have a high rate of divorce, because people do not love each other's characters, they love each other's wealth and property, materialism. So when Qarun came out, فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ Parading in the streets of Egypt with his zina, with his adornment, with his staff who were with him, with his servants. People were divided. Look at that society. And that is not only true in that society, it is true in every society today. When people look at wealth, when people look at prestige, when people look at fame, when people look at power and authority, what would they say? They were divided into two groups. قال الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا. This is one group. Those whose only concern and only goal is this lower life. These few days that we spend in this lower and fast moving life. قال الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا. يا ليت لنا. We wish. They get attracted easily. يا ليت لنا مثل ما أوتي قارون. We wish we can have the same wealth, same influence, same attraction, same jewelry. ما أوتي قارون. What Korah has been given. ما أوتي قارون. إنه truly. إنه لذو حظ عظيم. He's a very fortunate person. He's very successful. Those who have been dazzled, Allah says, يريدون الحياة الدنيا. Dazzled and overpowered by this life. Those who are weak-spirited. When a person has weak spirit, then they desire everything they see. If they see politics and politicians, they get attracted to them. He says, why I'm not one of them? If they see sport and games, they want to be one of them. If they see Hollywood and actress and actresses and Oscar events, they want to be with them. If they go to Wall Street, they want to be rich and own these high towers. This is someone who is weak spirited, has no foundation. Swayed. Every time he sees something, he gets swayed by it. قال الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا يا ليت لنا مثل ما أوتي قارون. This is a test in this life. A test. God says to his prophet, ولا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم زهرة الحياة الدنيا لنفتنهم فيه. When we give some of them, we give them materialism, we give them wealth, we give them position, we give them influence, we are testing them. لنفتنهم فيه. Fitna means test. We are testing them. Do not look up to them. This is a test. ورزق ربك خير وأبقى. If you should look up to something, look at your Lord's provision, Lord's gifts, Lord's mercy. ورزق ربك خير وأبقى. It's more enduring. This is the real investment. When you look up to your Lord, don't look up east and west. Because you're going to spend your time in sadness and depression. If you keep watching what people have and possess and accomplish, you are not going to live a life of happiness. Look up to your Lord. Be sincere, be dedicated in your life, and look up to Him. وَرِزْقُ رَبِّكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Look up to your Lord, because nothing is going to satisfy us. Nothing is going to satisfy us like the belief and the faith in the Day of Judgment. That we are here for some time. We are not here forever. Didn't we see last Friday after the prayers with Hajj Sulaiman and others? We went right away from here to Westminster Cemetery to bury a young girl. She was only 17 years old. And she fell and her head hits the floor and she had internal bleeding and she died. She was not parachuting or, you know, doing any type of sport. Normal life. It happens. It comes. Death comes with no warning. ورزق ربك خير وأبقى. Look up to the Akhirah. Be prepared for that. Don't waste your time and your energy and your feelings looking at what people have accomplished and desiring them and regretting that you don't have. Don't do that. That was the first group. الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا.
There is another group, though they are minority, but look at their vision and look at their aspiration. وقال الذين أوتوا العلم. God did not say وقال الذين يريدون الآخرة. In the first one, he said those who seek the lower life, the first group. The second group, he did not say those who seek the hereafter. He used another term, another description. What did he say about them? He said, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. On the other hand, those who have received knowledge. Because once you receive the good knowledge, the healthy knowledge, the genuine knowledge, in combination with your reason, عقل, you will receive the hidayah, the guidance. And nothing is more precious in this life than guidance. Than knowing that you are on the right track, on the right road. Nothing is more precious. No wealth, no position, no government, no children could substitute for hidayah, for guidance. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. Those who received the knowledge which is combined with reason and amal and a practice. Many people, they have knowledge, but they don't put it into practice. Their Islam and their faith is artificial. Many Muslims, they know the right and the wrong, but they don't, despite that, they practice the wrong. They choose to follow the wrong. This is not ilm. Those are not part of those who possessed ilm. That ilm does not help them. The ilm that helps me and you is the one that guides me to the right path and allows me, encourages me always to embrace the right path. That is the right ilm. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ وَيْلَكُمْ. Woe unto you. Woe unto you. ثواب الله خير لمن آمن وعمل صالحا. Do not look at Quran and his wealth. Don't look at that. Don't aspire his wealth, what he has. Don't. Look at God. Because the reward, the gifts of God, خير, better. لمن, for whom better? For someone who has to have two qualities. لمن آمن, has a true faith, genuine faith, وعمل صالحا. Iman alone does not function, my friends. Going to the masjid 5 times a day or 50 times a day without good deeds does not work. This is why Muslim countries are going backward. Because they think they have faith, but they don't join their faith with amal, with the practice. It's like someone going to the hospital, to the doctor's office, and the doctor prescribed medicine to him. He brings the medicine home and he just put them and he looks at medicine. He doesn't use it. He would never get cured, believe me. By just going to the doctor's office and even to the pharmacy and getting the medicine without using them, he's not going to get cured. This is the disease most Muslims have today. They have the book, the medicine, they have the salat, they have Ramadan, but they don't practice it. They don't put it into practice. وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. This position, this gift of faith coupled with practice, good deeds, only those who are patients can receive it. Because it is a big struggle. It's not easy. This life is a struggle for us. There is a lot of enticements, attractions, allurements in this life that takes us away from the right path. Unless you have sabr. Sabr means deep foundations in faith. Sabr is the spirit of iman. The spirit of iman is sabr, patience. وَلَا يُلَقَّهَا. No one can get this chance except those who are patients. وَلَا يُلَقَّهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وزين وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهم السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا قيل لهم اتبعوا ما أنزل الله قالوا بل نتبع ما ألفينا عليه آباءنا أولو كان آباؤهم لا يعقلون شيئا ولا يهتدون When it is said to them follow what God has sent unto you they say nay we follow the customs and the traditions and the culture of our fathers and forefathers Though the Quran says, though their forefathers, they understand nothing and they are misguided. I have a question. Most Muslims, they listen to sermons, speeches, lectures, they pray. But why they don't change? Where is the wrong? Is the wrong in this message, in this book? Is the wrong in the faith? The faith is wrong. Is the wrong and the defect in the prophet of this faith? Where is it? It has to be somewhere. It has to be somewhere. Sociologists, they say each person has two brains, العقل الباطني والعقل الظاهري. Internal brain, internal, and external brain. Many Muslims, their internal brain follows their customs and their cultures and their societies and their forefathers, the tradition of their forefathers. While the external brain follows Islam. So when they listen to maw'idah, when they listen to the sermon, to the khutbah, to the lecture, to the speech, to guidance, the external brain receives it, while the internal brain embraces their own customs, their own traditions. So it does not get affected. I'll give you an example. I'm from Iraq originally. And in Iraq, we have a huge desert. And in the desert, we have people who are Bedouins, nomadic, who live in the desert. Same case in Saudi Arabia, in the Gulf states, in North Africa, in many other countries. The Bedouin, the nomadic, has two brains, internal and external. The internal one tells him, you have to believe in revenge. You have to be superior over others. When you clash with your neighbors, you must murder them. Put them down. You have to have dignity. You have to take revenge for your dignity. If someone does something to you, never forgive him. Teach him a lesson by doing two bad things to him. This is the mentality. These are the doctrines of the desert. While he goes to the masjid speaks about forgiveness. Be habbab, habibi, sweetheart. If someone does something bad to you, forgive. In the desert,
In the doctrines of the desert, he never believes in musawat, equality. He always believes in superiority. He's above others. His blood, his family tree, his grandfather is above others. This is exactly what happened in Quraysh. Quraysh! And as I said last night, I'm from Quraysh, huh? So I'm not putting them down. I go back to Quraysh, 42 generations. Many of you are Sayyids, you belong to Quraysh. In Quraysh, there were 20 tribes vying for superiority, for dominance. 20 tribes, 20 sub-tribes within Quraysh. One of them was Bani Hashim, the tribe of the Prophet. But there were others. There were Bani Umayyah, Bani Uday, Bani Taim, and many others. Bani Abd Shams. So he, the tribe, teaches him, you have to be above others. Others have to be your servants. No equality. But he goes to the masjid, he reads the Quran, he listens to the khatib. The khatib says, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. There is no racism in Islam. There is no bigotry. There is no prejudice. While in the tribe, they teaches him a pride and a prejudice, both. So his aql, internal aql, embraces what? His culture. While his external aql, he comes to the masjid, the maw'idah, the lesson that he listens to, it does not go in. Because there is always, always a clash between tradition and religion. Always. This is true in the Arab culture, true in the Iranian and Farsi culture, true in the Indian and Pakistani culture, true in the African culture, true in every single culture. There is a clash between cultural values and Islamic values. And if people are not ready to let go of their traditional and cultural values, no prophet, no messenger of God can teach them guidance. They won't be guided. Unless they reach a point, he says, my faith is above my culture. My faith is above my environment. My real culture is my faith, my Islam. At that point, if he's genuine about this, then he can change. But as long as he give in to his customs, to his traditions, to his family values, and he puts them before Islam, above Islam, nothing will happen. No change will take place. This is the reason. And this is a theory in the Quran. This is a theory, psychological theory in this book in the Quran. Allah says, if you don't follow what you hear and what you believe in, you are not going to be successful. Unless you follow, you put it before others. You put God before your nationality. You put God before your village ideology, before your family ideology, before your tribal, qabali and ashairi ideology. Then you're coming to be successful in this life. I leave you with this. And we will continue on this, inshallah, in the next weeks, inshallah ta'ala. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minin wal mu'minat, wal muslimin wal muslimat, al ahya'i minhum wal amwat, tabi'a lahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat, innaka mujibu al-da'wat. Allahumma ansur al-islam wal muslimin. Allahumma aj'al kalimata al-islam hiya al-ulya. اللهم وحد كلمة المسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم شافي مرضانا وداوي جرحانا وفك أسرانا وانصر العاملين في ديننا وأيدهم وعجل في فرج قائدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات والشهداء ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد